This is the Full Press NBA Podcast.
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win!
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It's on! It's on! Oh, my goodness!
Presented by Sportscaster.com and distributed by Snowman Digital Media.
Here's Carnes. Let's one go from center court.
He got it! He got it! He got it!
So, the NHL is planning a comeback, and in many ways, it prompts questions of an NBA comeback. How will this get done? How will a champion be crowned? Let's try to find some answers in the midst of this pandemic that is now stretched into June, and I bring in a good friend of mine, Charles Whitfield, has joined the conversation. How are you, my friend? Good to talk to you again.
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Hanging in there during this pandemic, my friend. We see the return of sports, and it's coming very, very slowly, to say the least, which prompts, let's just throw the question out there. How does the NBA complete its season and crown a champion?
Hey, that's something that looks like they're still trying to figure out what it's going to look like. Looks like, from what I can tell, looks like teams are going to go back to play down in Orlando at the Disney World Complex. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, from here, and it's still to be determined what that's actually going to look like. And hopefully they'll know. Sounds like by Thursday they should have a better idea what it's going to look like.
Should it just go into its playoff like the NHL is doing, or should it try to complete its regular season, given the fact that it is June? The NBA draft, is basically around the corner. Or should everything be pushed back until this season completes?
I think that's a hard question for me to ask, not being actually inside of a team, because part of what everything is about is the economics and dollars and cents.
Yeah.
Of what it, I mean, it's easy to say, oh, let's just go to the playoffs. I don't think, you know, they're talking about completing the regular season. I think it may be shortened amount of games, but I mean, I'm like, if the teams don't play at all, would they miss out on a certain piece of money? So I think it's way more economics than just saying, hey, should they play or not play, or should they just go straight to the playoffs? So I mean, I think, you know, I've seen something today where a couple of the small market owners have said, hey, you know, we want to play some games because, you know, from when it stopped to when they're talking about it starting, it could be 9 months. Mm-hmm. To some of those teams that don't make the playoffs without them playing. And that's a long period of time.
It is a long period of time to go without basketball, to go without playing. You know, one of the biggest things, you mentioned it, economics. The other biggest thing, having fans in the stands. Do you think that's going to take a long while for fans to return to games?
I mean, from, you know, I would love for fans to be there, but from, you know, living in Charlotte, you know, I do a jazz festival here with Live Nation at a Live Nation venue that, you know, things are currently on hold. And, you know, as of right now, the governor hasn't told us, you know, to phase three, what that could look like. And, I mean, I think the RNC, which is scheduled to be here in North Carolina, I think it's the end of July or August, I think that's the first big test of, you know, how quick stuff could open up here. But I do think, you know, I think for what they're talking about in Florida, from what I'm understanding, just like NASCAR has done a couple races, they've not been anything.
Right.
And I think right now, I think, you know, right or wrong, I think arrow of caution, which is, you know, the safe side, because, you know, as you see with a lot of these states opening up, these numbers are continuing to go up.
Yeah.
And it's not like numbers are going down from what I'm seeing, you know, and I believe I saw something today saying 18 states have had, you know, numbers rise, 15 have stayed the same, and, you know, few have went down. So at the end, I mean, it's still out there.
It is. And states are opening up. Let's touch that for a moment. States are opening up without a vaccine in place and without a cure in place. And with these states opening up, there's more danger than problem-solving being done.
Exactly. So I think, you know, with all of these sports, I mean, I'm hearing, you know, baseball was looking at stuff too. But in everything I'm hearing, everybody's talking about, you know, no fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a comment I saw from the NFL camp is they plan to have full stadiums, which is very risky.
Yeah, no, I think right now it's very risky. And, I mean, honestly, it would be hard for me to see fans rushing out. As much as I love sports and grew up playing sports, I'm not trying to rush out with my family to a sporting event right now because
right.
It's just too much of a risk. It's too much of a risk.
It is too much of a risk. Now, can this change in the next couple of months? Absolutely. Do I anticipate it changing in the next couple of months? The fan side of me says yes. The journalistic side of me says yes because I want to go call some games. But the researcher in me says, this ain't changing anytime soon. In fact, as a colleague of mine said on this program, it could get worse before it gets better. And with some states opening up, it's trending toward that direction.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I mean, I do think it could get, you know, worse before it does get better. And like you said, without having a vaccine and, you know, certain things, there's still too many unknowns out there right now. And, I mean, we all want to get back to some form of normalcy as fast as we can. But at the end of the day, you know, when you've had over 100,000 people pass away
mm-hmm.
over this, it's serious.
It is very serious to see a number like that and to see a number like that on the rise. And when it comes to sports, which is usually our Band-Aid, when something crazy going on in this country, i.e. the riots, i.e. the civil unrest that's going on yet again, sports is usually our Band-Aid. We don't have that Band-Aid right now. And to go one step further, the biggest part of the Band-Aid is the NBA, and it ain't happening right now. So this is getting crazier by the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to your point, you know, sports, when things happen in the country or in the world, you know, sports has always, you know, seemingly been there as something that people could look at as a, almost as a reprieve or something to make them feel better. And I mean, right now we don't have it. And then, you know, what I've been seeing, you know, the last couple of days, you know, is these athletes out here participating in these George Floyd tributes and,
mm-hmm.
you know, speaking their mind. You know, when you got players like Jaylen Brown, who, you know, drove 15 hours from Boston, you know, down to Atlanta to participate in a peaceful march.
I mean,
it's showing, you know, right now, it's at the end of the day, something out there, you know, bigger than sports. And I think a lot of it does have to do with the pandemic because, you know, if you look at a lot of what's happening, you know, in the country right now, part of it's, you know, because of the pandemic, people have been at home, you know, whether they've lost their jobs or sitting at home and, you know, then this happens and, you know, it's been 5 or 6 days. You know, when people are, you know, having civil unrest, you know, a lot of protests start out peaceful, but as the night goes on, you know, they end up turning to confrontation.
Yeah.
You know?
And a couple of cities that have been highlighted. There are a couple of cities in California that have been highlighted. Washington, D.C. was under siege recently. This all started in Minnesota. And to tie it into sports, these are sports hotbeds we're talking about with all this civil unrest going on.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's just, you know, a tough time for us all right now. And hopefully, you know, things will get better soon.
Yeah, very soon. Let's look ahead. Let's look ahead to what will hopefully be some happier times. Looking at what the NBA has proposed, a 1-16 seed for the playoffs, to start thinking ahead, should that become a permanent change and eliminate the conferences and their seeds and all?
You know what? I mean, I think it's one idea that, you know, could be something to look at. I think, you know, from a fan standpoint, it could make it, you know, more interesting, more exciting. you know, so much player movement now with free agency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyway, not like, you know, 20 years ago when players stayed with one team. I mean, at the end of the day, it's so much free agency and movement now. I think, you know, at the end of the day, if you just had a straight 1 through 16 and it wasn't the East and West, or, you know, I just think it could be something that's interesting to look at. And I think it could be.
My other question, should the first round go back to a 5-game series instead of it being a 7-game series?
You know what? I think that could be something to go back to, because I do think, you know, especially even in this climate now with the players being out for 2 months or whatever and risking injury, I mean, I think even if you shortened it to some point, I mean, I think for a first round, to me, I think 7 is too long to me for
yeah.
a first round. And I think, it, you know, definitely for the first round, I could see stuff going back, you know, to a 5-game, you know, best 3 out of 5, because, you know, at the end of the day, you're talking about the higher seeds playing the lower seeds, which the higher, you know, the lower seed, you know, should be the better team, you know, definitely on paper and what they've done in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, out of 5 should be enough to finish that first round.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't liked the first round going to a 7-game series because of all the excitement that could happen with a fifth and deciding game. This would be a perfect time for the first round to be truncated to 5 games and make it a best 3 out of 5. Yeah, and like you said, with injuries that could possibly happen at any time. Anybody remember Derrick Rose from 2012? Even though that occurred in game 1. But at the same time, if you limit the first series to 5 games, you get part of the excitement back.
Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely agree.
Looking ahead more. I kind of agree with a 1 through 16 matchups, regardless of conference. But at the same time, I'm a little torn because I've been so used to the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference and how the seeds should play out. And the way it would look right now, the number one seed would be Milwaukee, and the 16 could be, you know, someone like the Portland Trail Blazers or the San Antonio Spurs, which prompts this question: should we have a play-in round like they do with the NCAA tournament?
Nah, to me, I don't think you should do a play-in, because I think the season's long enough as it is.
Yeah,
I think if you start even. How baseball has the 1-game wild card or something like that. I just think Dan is stretching it out a little bit too much.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
I do think first round games could be the best out of 5. And then after the first round, you go to the 7-game series. But I think, you know, then if you start talking about play-ins, with as many regular season games as it is anyway, I think now you're just stretching out a little too much, in my opinion.
Charles Whitfield joining me here on the program. All right, before the season was called to a halt, give me 3 candidates you thought were competing for the NBA Most Valuable Player.
Obviously Giannis in Milwaukee,
yep.
I would say. And, you know, I would also say, in my opinion, what LeBron has done in L.A. Definitely warranted some consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You know, honestly, that third person right now, I can't. I mean, you may can help me and tell me a third person. I mean, those two seem to be, in my opinion, from what I, you know, and, you know, like I say, it's been 2 months since we've had basketball, but
yeah.
To me, you know, those two, me seem to be, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, but give me a third person. But to me, those two seem to be, you know, head and shoulders above everybody right now to me.
Very true. Those two are 1 and 2, and they are head and shoulders above everybody. A distant third for me would probably be Kawhi Leonard because of the way he's helped to energize the Clippers. But before the season was called to a halt, the Clippers were starting to fall on hard times. because they had dominated the Lakers in the first two games, and then they lost the third game of that season series to the Lakers. And it just seemed like the Lakers were hitting their stride at the time the season was called to a halt.
Yeah. No, I mean, I couldn't argue with Kawhi being, or, you know, like you say, the Clippers definitely had a good start out the gate, started slumping a little bit. But, you know, the thing is that second half, you just never really know because they didn't get into it enough to really know what could have happened.
Yeah.
And some of the team in the West, the Lakers, who had some veterans, could have had some injuries. I mean, mm-hmm. You just never know.
Everybody is hopping on the Lakers bandwagon for them to win the championship and LeBron to get his fourth title. I don't see it because of a couple of big holes to fill. And the first thing I think of when I think of the Lakers, even though LeBron has been absolutely amazing at point guard, you need a younger version of a point guard to get you through a playoff series, especially if it extends beyond five games.
Yeah, I can see your point on that for a little bit, but then also too, Rondo does have experience.
True.
So, and he's won a ring. So one thing I agree to a point, you know, definitely could be a younger, you know, point guard, but it's also once you get to the playoffs, you know, one thing you can't take is experience, because that does mean a lot, you know.
It does. It does. Anything that the Lakers could have done before the trade deadline to make their team better so they can run away with the top seed in the West?
You know what? I don't really know. To me, I mean, I'm sure they probably could have did something here or there, but, I mean, for the most part, I mean, I can't, you know. To me, it's like apples and oranges. They could have, but I think, you know, having that good, solid 1-2 punch of, you know, AD and LeBron,
mm-hmm.
a good inside out, and, you know, having some shooters around them, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I think, you know, they were in the position, and, you know, who's to know when stuff comes back?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, to win it out.
We'll have to see how it goes. Let's go to the East. Couple more points. Why is everyone still sleeping on the Toronto Raptors?
Hey, that's just, you know, they're in Toronto one, I think, and, you know, just,
yeah.
Even after them having won something, I still think it's just, you know, they still slide below the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially losing, you know, Kawhi, but, you know, having a good veteran leader like Cal Lowry and, you know, other guys step up once Kawhi left. You know, it's just part of Toronto. And I think, you know, they don't have no problem sliding under the radar like that.
And one of the biggest players that has stepped up, I'll give you two for Toronto, Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet, the same way they stepped up in the World Championship Series last year.
Yeah, I agree.
Final question. We're going to go local with this one. How can the Hornets turn their fortunes around using the draft, using free agency, to get themselves back into playoff competition? What needs to happen in Charlotte?
I mean, I think, you know, in my opinion, they just got to keep developing the young guys. I mean, that's the way they're starting to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think you saw some of the young guys start showing some promise, you know, in Devontae. And yep. I just think, you know, Miles Bridges. And I just think, you know, we're going with some of these young guys. I think they just have to go all in on them and give them time to develop on the court.
And the players, you know, I think the players have to buy into the system also. And they were starting to. You're around the Hornets more than I. Hopefully that changes soon. But at the same time, did it just seem to you that they were starting to find a little bit of a groove as well?
Yeah, and I think they were. And I mean, I think, you know, Coach Borrego has said, you know, right as stuff hit, that they were starting to kind of find that groove and,
you know, they were a couple games, you know, out of that eighth spot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just think, just like I said before, the sad thing is when it happened, you just never know, because the East was, you know, so compact and tight that, you know, mathematically they definitely, you know, still had a chance. And it's just, you know, you just never know.
Yeah, and it's crazy to talk about the Eastern Conference being as compact and as tight as it is. You know, for many, many years, the Western Conference was the conference that was loaded, but now you're starting to see that talent come out in the East in teams like the Charlotte Hornets, the Miami Heat. And I will say this, you know, from my hometown as well, don't sleep on the Bulls either. They've made some changes up top. They've got some talent coming in, and they have some talent that they're going to retain. So there's a possibility next year, not only the Hornets, but the Chicago Bulls as well could sneak in the playoffs, and both teams return to prominence. That's Charles Whitfield joining me, talking all things NBA. And folks, please be safe during this pandemic time and this time of civil unrest, and continue to tune into this show, because I'm going to have Charles on a lot more to talk some hoops and to talk some Carolina sports with me. Man, it's a pleasure to have you on, as always.
All right, my man. Take care. Stay safe, too.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Snowman Digital Media. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
1 second remaining in the regular season, possibly. Out to Kobe. Far away, high.
Curry comes to the ball, goes to the corner, catches, works up, Poindexter, fade away, three, short, rebound, fade, Curry in the corner, shoots, on the way, got it! He hit it!
They get it to Fisher.
He scores! Oh, Derek Fisher scores at the buzzer!
And it goes to Bird, Bird up fake, Bird takes the shot, it goes!
All right, it's win or lose, game six for the Bulls. 10 seconds, and with it, of course, the championship. Jordan, 20-footer, head of the key, good! Chicago by one, and the Utah Jazz take time. Michael Jordan from the top of the key to put the Bulls up 87-86.
For more information, log on to snowmandigitalmedia.com.